Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, prophets may lack honor in their hometown, but we ask you to make your home in our hearts anyway. Help us to honor your word and not take it for granted. Move us to hear the freshness of your spirit, words that may be familiar. Help us to honor you by paying attention to how you speak to us today. Teach us to respond to your call so that we may be ever more faithful disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm pretty sure that all of you know that I claim Fairbanks, Alaska as my home. Many of you also know that Bert and I will to Fairbanks in about 10 days for a fairly lengthy visit. I can't wait to see our friends and family, but what I'm not thrilled about is the hassle of air travel these days. If you have been at an airport at all in the last, 18 years or so, you know that you're going to have to pass through security. You know that there will be some uniformed officials who will you may and may not bring on an airplane. It comes as no surprise to anyone today that you cannot bring guns, knives, crossbows, meat cleavers, box cutters, mace, or similar items in your carry-on luggage and expect to be allowed to board an airplane. Problem with mascara and toothpaste and mouthwash and yogurt, shave cream, and those kind of things that are in your bag. A few personal care items are permitted in very small amounts, and only if packed in a special way, right? Apparently, explosives can be disguised to look like those innocent products, so we have to either leave them behind or put them into our checked luggage. Actually, the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, would be much happier if we all took nothing more than the clothes on our backs for our journeys by plane. But generally, that's just not practical, is it? Still, that's essentially what Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out in pairs to cast out demons and heal the sick and call people to repentance. Take nothing for the journey, he told them. According to Mark, Jesus did allow them to take a staff and to wear sandals and, of course, the clothes that they were wearing. But Jesus, like the TSA, had a list of prohibited items. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, and no second tunic. Jesus had a reason for the items that he banned. They would undermine the mission on which he was sending out his disciples. Jesus wanted them to depend completely on God to provide for them through the hospitality of strangers. How they traveled and were welcomed was to be for them a demonstration of God's care for them. That is a lesson for us. When Jesus sends us out to be his people in the world, and tells us to rely on him and take nothing with us, we cannot help but take along who we actually are, including the baggage that we normally carry. And by baggage, I mean something other than suitcases or backpacks. The word baggage is a recent redefinition of the word that means the burdensome personal history that we drag around with us that interferes with our living fully in the present. this baggage can be non-productive ways of dealing with conflict, inappropriate responses that are triggered at inopportune moments, unaddressed fears from childhood, psychological damage from abuse, and frightening ideas about God. In fact, just about any holdover from our past that prevents us from getting on well in our relationships or with our daily responsibilities is baggage. Churches have baggage too, which is part of the reason that we had our coming to terms with history events. Those events gave us an opportunity to honestly review the history of our church. Sometimes personal baggage gets so heavy that we need counseling or psychological help to unload it. And that's hard because we may have cloaked ourselves so heavily in counterproductive attire that we'd feel naked if we really stripped it off. Most of us have some kind of baggage that travels with us even when we think we've taken nothing for the journey. But there are a couple of helpful things that we can learn from this account of Jesus sending out the 12. First, while Jesus tells them to take nothing for the journey, he never tells them to go buck naked. They are to be vulnerable, but not that vulnerable. They can take their shortcomings, their scarred psyches, and damaged emotions with them, and they can still do the work to which Jesus calls them. They are still able to cast out demons and to heal the sick, despite their excess baggage. They and we can fly. Second, they were working for the divine healer. Earlier in this gospel, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and that same evening he healed many who had various diseases and drove out many demons. But in the gospel account from the same event, Matthew adds, this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities, bore our diseases. If we look at the word infirmities, we might assume that infirmities is simply a synonym for illness or disease. But in fact, there are two activities named: healing, as in bearing our diseases, and casting out spirits, as in taking our infirmities. The meaning of the word infirmity or weakness seems to range from our sins on one hand to our illnesses on the other. I think that word infirmities can include emotional baggage. And for that kind of load, we need divine healing. We Christians may be tempted to label some of our baggage as sins. Some certainly can be, but don't be too quick to go there. The person who has too high an opinion of him or herself may indeed be guilty of the sin of pride, but the one who flaunts abilities may not be proud at all. What we see as apparent pride may actually be an attempt to hide how worthless that person feels because of their low self-esteem. What is suffered then is not sin, but baggage. And the need is not for forgiveness, but for healing. Christians who suffer from persistent guilt may think that they have some unconfessed sin in their lives. And that could be the case. But it's also possible that those feelings of guilt may simply arise from being raised around severe and judgmental people, or that they grew up hearing a lot of hellfire and damnation preaching. Guilt is like an overweight bag that just costs us extra. Grudges are baggage too. They are the kind of obsession we carry around with us when others have hurt us, particularly someone with power over us. We may fantasize about that sweet taste of revenge. Should the tables ever be turned and we find ourselves in a position of authority. And even if we don't want to revisit that nagging memory, it still comes back almost on its own accord to haunt us. In a perverse way, we allow the person who has hurt us to continue to exercise power over us, even years after we could have moved on if we just let it go. Eventually, we may come to realize that our grudge is a far greater burden than the original incident. The only thing then to do is to throw it in the trash before entering that security line so it won't be exposed as a prohibited item. Sometimes it takes a conscious effort to stop brooding over bad things that have happened and to simply let them go. When we shed that baggage for the first time, we will truly be traveling light, and it feels so much better. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his listeners not to be anxious about their lives, what they would eat or drink or wear. He went on to point out that instead of worrying, we should trust God to care for us and to seek God's kingdom. Since Jesus said those things, some Christians have concluded that worry or anxiety must therefore be sinful. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, don't be anxious. But he never said that an anxious person was sinful or lost. The tendency to worry doesn't mean that we're not faithful followers of Christ. It may mean, however, that we do have excess baggage. So what can we do about our baggage? Well, here are some things that might be helpful in dealing with our infirmities. They might even help us leave some baggage behind. First, we can unpack our baggage. We can ask God to help us face our problems squarely and without rationalization. We can admit to God the specific reaction that interferes with our relationships and keeps us from doing our best. We can empty the poison bottle. In other words, we can take a look at those people and memories we blame for certain of our hang-ups and decide what we need to do to keep those memories from poisoning us today. We can accept responsibility for who we are. It may be helpful briefly to look at what certain in our past have contributed to the shaping of our present personalities, but it's far more important to say, regardless of how I got where I am responsible for dealing with it now and for working to become the whole person that God intends me to be. That may even mean ignoring certain gut reactions and behaving instead are, well, more adult. We can lay the before God. I'm not suggesting that things like counseling and support groups and psychiatry are inappropriate for baggage handling. On the contrary, sometimes they're the very first line of defense. But talking to God about the scars that we bear is often the most vital part of the healing process. Ultimately, our job is to let Jesus handle the baggage. There are times when Jesus' instruction to take nothing with us ought to be obeyed quite literally. It's much healthier for us to let Jesus handle our baggage so that we can leave it behind. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.